to 105.5, and this is a special programming for the Honorable Marcus Mazaya Garvey. Inside the studio with me, co-hosting at this point, is Roy Green from Africa Today and The Odyssey, Rhythm and Blues and African Stories. And we do news now on Fridays, and we want to welcome and say Akwaba to a man who has done great works over time. They call him Dub Poet. We can call him Elder, Teacher. And he has done a lot of work to bring the African stories to the masses in Jamaica and globally as well. And he has a show on an IRA FM called The Cutting Edge. And we want to take this time out to say Akwaba, welcome to the Honorable Muta Baruka. Yes, greetings.
Yeah, blessed man.
How are you doing, man?
Everything nice, man. Everything.
And the sun came up and it's beautiful in Jamaica. I always miss Jamaica. You know?
Yeah, the sun is always up, you know. I mean, see sometimes.
Seeing. It's wonderful. Muta, I want to start off by saying to you, you know, could you tell us when was the first time you got introduced to Marcus Mazaya Garvey, and what was the impact on you?
Yeah, well, my first introduction to Marcus Garvey was through Marcus Garvey Jr. He used to teach me at Kingston Technical High School, you know? And he had the organization that was following out the footsteps of his father. That time they used to live at 12 Mona Road, and even Jake Garvey was the owner of that house. That's where she used to live. So we used to go up there and city, you know, in those days it was like a black power thing in the late 60s, you know, early 70s. You know, we used to go up the house and talk, and Marcus Garvey Jr. used to give us different books and different literature about his father, you know.
Yes.
That was my first introduction. In those days it was more on a kind of black power, political black power level, you know.
Yes, and in terms of Garvey, and you had a time, I guess, over time to do more research on him. What is his impact to the world?
Well, you know, whenever I research Garvey, we just read Garvey and find certain things that was in line with our worldview, our Pan-African consciousness. So we view him as like the father of Pan-Africanism. And Marcus Garvey, to me, is that political awareness, that black conscious political awareness that black people need to really connect themselves with the African understanding, you know, with always how Africa supposed to be politically. And the reason why I stress politically, you know, because as a Rasta, Marcus Garvey is what I call the political viewpoint of Rastafari. Yeah. Haile Selassie connect us to that spirituality. Marcus Garvey is the what we call the body, and Haile Selassie is the spirit. So Marcus Garvey connect to a Pan-Africanist mindset. Over the years, he enlightened black people to look at themselves in a different way, outside of the colonial experience, outside of the slavery experience, and look to Africa as their redemptive force, you know?
Yes.
So it, over the years, we have not really given credence to Marcus Garvey in Jamaica. It is one of the Rastafari movement that has continued to highlight the importance of Marcus Garvey. And we can see that even one artist, Burning Spear, is credited for really bringing to the attention that Marcus Garvey words is very important, significant. You know? So, yeah, Rastafari has always maintained Marcus Garvey as that beacon of Pan-Africanist fathership, and his views, which is seen basically in the philosophy and opinions of Marcus Garvey, which was compiled by his second wife, Amy James Garvey. It's a very important document for black people, especially in this time, you know?
Yes. So here it is, we're talking about, you know, in this time, education. First, let's talk about the Jamaican school. Is Garvey inside the curriculum in certain aspect of their teachings? Is that a worldwide thing in the primary, secondary school system in Jamaica? Is that happening?
No, so we said little bits of Garvey seeping in, but the little bits that is seeping in is that It's like Marcus Garvey was born in St. Anne and he was the head of the UNIA. But the essence of Marcus Garvey's philosophy and opinion is what we as Pan-Africanists is concerned about. And we don't see that prevailing in the Jamaican schools, even in the universities, you know. You have to go out there for yourself and find out these things for yourself. And that is really a travesty, because Marcus Garvey is supposed to be the first national hero of Jamaica, the most important national hero of Jamaica. And there's hardly anything that is known. If you ask some a young person out there about Marcus Garvey, all I can tell you that Marcus Garvey was born in St. Anne and in the farm, the UNIA, you know, but that is really not understanding Marcus Garvey. To understand Marcus Garvey, you have to go into what was he standing for, the idea of African redemption, Africa for Africans, those at home and those abroad.
Yes.
The idea of economic power for black people, developing economical power, the idea of organization. Marcus Garvey had the largest black organization ever. Up to this day, there's no organization that has been started by any black people in this part of the world that can match the power of the UNIA. You know, so these are a lot of these things that the young people in Jamaica need to know. But for some reason or another, and I should say I'm, you know, dumb to why, you know, it's because of the consciousness, the black consciousness, the African perspective that is perpetuated by Marcus Garvey, why there's hardly anything done to do it, to teach Marcus Garvey. But we never give up, you know. We are the ones who is continue to doing it. We continue to pressure governments. You see, today they are renaming a street in St. Anne. The street where his house was on, they're going to call it Marcus Garvey Road. So, you know, I guess that's a step, but there's not more to be done in understanding Garvey, in making young people understand how important Garvey is, especially in this time.
Yes, yes. And one of the things, one of the most, I guess, controversial thing with Garvey, Garvey was a Baptist. And one of the things he had said, and I think no other Baptist probably said it since, when he said that...
He was a Roman Catholic.
He was. Well, good to know that too. I thought he was, but let's say he was a Roman Catholic. If he's saying that, you know, European sees God through white spectacles... He was saying, African people.
Philosophy and opinion.
Yeah. So, but I think that also caused a lot of controversy during that time in Jamaica, if he's telling black people
what
to see a black God. To see a black God.
Well, look here. It must cause a controversy if in that time everything black was bad and everything white was right. That is why I say that's how important Marcus Garvey is. To consider that a man in that time, in the 20s, was declaring that, yeah, if the Jews want to see God through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let they do it. If the Chinese want to see God through their spectacles, we don't believe it must be God through Ethiopia. And that is the God we must worship. So even though Marcus Garvey was given credence from a Christian perspective, he was aware that it was very important that black people develop a theology that is more resembling them. You know, this is all great, I think, Marcus Garvey is coming from a society that was a Christian society, and he himself was recognized as a Christian. He still recognized that black people needed a theology that is black. It's a black theology. And that is why when he says the image of God, seeing God through Ethiopia, the only set of people that actually answer that call is the Rastafari movement.
Yes, and we have Roy Green in the studio joining me here as a co-host today, and he has a question he'd like to put towards you, Muta.
Good afternoon, Muta. Welcome to Africa. Welcome to the show.
Listen, man.
Yes, I have, my mindset is on my other African program, so I'm talking about. But you made a comment a little while ago when Sankofa asked you about Gavi, how well known is Gavi, and you made a reference to the fact that you asked a young person and they wouldn't know, and then you alluded to the fact that anything about an important person as Gavi, apart from a cursory mention, is not really delved into in any depth in the education system. What would you, if you were to make an advocate, what would you advocate? Of course, saying, well, okay, I want that to be taught, but how would you go about doing it? Since we have this, what is considered an Afrocentric school. We have an Afrocentric school here.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, we have to start from the primary school level, and we have to get our scholars, which is our artists, not recording artists, but artists like people who can draw and people who can articulate and put together primary books about Marcus Garvey, little things that would be very important to Marcus Garvey and to them, you know, so it has to come like a school book.
Yeah, but
you know, we have a lot of.
But in a Eurocentric setting, what are the chances of that really happening unless we take control of ourselves?
It can happen because we.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it can happen, you know, it's just there's the will to do it and the determination to do it. There's a lot of people right now that is capable to put together different books. You see, when you have books that is put together, you know, but it don't reach the curriculum as such. It don't reach inside of the Jamaican curriculum. And I think that is what we are struggling for. We are struggling that we who have been doing these things and knowing these things should be introduced to the school system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I am seeing that even though we are doing it on a small level, but it needs to be done on a national level, where it is not just an underground thing where a Musa Baruka going to a school when it is the 17th of August and talk about Gavi. But this should be an ongoing thing that is happening in the school.
The thing that irks me really is that we get in there, we have, and I'll use the term gatekeepers, because as you realize in a society as ours, Jamaica, Trinidad, otherwise, the gatekeepers in the education system are people that look like us, and they are the ones that have put up the most ferocious opposition to anything
but
like that.
It has always been like that. It's black people against black consciousness. We are in the exotica when it comes down to white people, and that's not really what we want. We want black people using it as a way of life rather than just a study issue.
So in a sense, one of Marcus' philosophy has never transformed down to the 21st century in that aspect.
Well, there's a lot of Marcus Garvey philosophy that has not transformed into the
But that one particularly
century.
Of education and arming yourself, as Marcus Garvey advocated.
Well, we have been educated, you know. What I'm saying is that there are a lot of us who have been technically, you know, with the education and surrounding Marcus Garvey. Because there are other education that is taking place, especially with people of my understanding. That is, you know, we are very conscious of, you know, Africa, and we are really sensitizing people about the African consciousness. But we are talking, you know, specifically about Marcus Garvey itself. The education on Marcus Garvey is not enough, as we see. And we are trying our best and doing other things that we can really be a part of the national education system where Marcus Garvey is concerned. There are other things that is happening that is national, that we have fought for over the years. But when it comes to specifically Marcus Garvey, we don't want to just hear about Marcus Garvey on the 17th of August. And this is what we are struggling for at the moment. So it's not that there's no education that is taking place. There's education, but education around Marcus Garvey is lacking.
Well, maybe I know that education is taking place, but for me, I think about education because Marcus says he wants to see himself reflected in every aspect. And when I don't see that, I see, well, there's a lack of education in that part. In that sense.
In Marcus Garvey?
Yes, sir.
Well, I agree with you. I am agreeing with you that there's not enough education surrounding Marcus Garvey.
Now, Muta, you had mentioned that the businesses. We want to, maybe you could elaborate on the impact of some of the businesses that he owned in terms of self-reliance and the Black Star Line company and all of that. Can you expand?
Well, you know, Marcus Garvey was about economic development and how Black people can really move themselves from the grips of Western imperialism and white supremacy. So Marcus Garvey decided that especially his work in America, in Ireland, Marcus Garvey decided he would start that company that he just mentioned, the Black Star Liner, where he used ships to move cargo, people, goods and services between Africa and the West here. And it was sabotage, actually. It was sabotage, and because he was trying to gather money to develop and also to expand the economic structure of the UNI here. He was jailed for mail fraud. But within the idea of a Black Star Line where we had goods and services moving, I think that is a very important aspect, one of the most important aspects of Marcus Garvey's work over the years, where a Black man started a shipping line company to move goods and services between Africa and the Caribbean. Also, one of Marcus Garvey's political effort, which was striving towards economical power also, was the starting of the first political party in Jamaica. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but Marcus Garvey formed the first political party in Jamaica. It's called the People's Political Party. And that was that the manifesto of the People's Political Party. A lot of things that a lot of these political parties right now, the People's National Party and the Jamaican National Party, is striving towards, was what Marcus Garvey had in his manifesto from the very first set of forming his party. So, you know, all I think they have to do was to take the blueprint from Marcus Garvey rather than trying to reinvent the wheel. Because basically that is what they're trying to do, reinvent the wheel, and they're not going about it in a what we call a Black conscious way, but in a total neo-colonialistic way. And that is really problematic, really, to Black people. And you can see the offshoot of it in the Caribbean, where Caribbean countries seeming to be moving forward but going backward.
Muta, Pan-Africanism, and I know that the Rastafarianism and Pan-Africanism, they work parallel paths. But Pan-Africanism, the role of the philosophies that gave rise to Pan-Africanism, do you think is working today, or do you think the term is a term that needs to be reworked into something more cohesive and more tangible?
Yes, I think it needs to be more cohesive. I don't know if tangible is the word, because we see there's more connection now with the West, Black people in the West and Africa. You know, we can't say there's nothing happening, because I know hundreds of brethren and sisters who have repatriated to Africa. I know people who is actually doing things on the continent and vice versa. I know Africans who is here trying to do things. So there is a deeper connection with Africa now than before. And much more need to be done as we're going to go back now to the understanding of what took place in history, why we are here, and get disconnected from Africa. We need to understand the African continent much more than we do, and the Africans need to understand what is it that we here in the West here have to offer Africa. Being as though we are in the West here and we have been into what we call Western technology and Western advancement, I think that we can play a part in the development and liberation of Africa much more than we think we can do. You know, so I am seeing that the economical development needs much more attention, but I would not say that the connection is not there. I find myself going in and out of Africa There was a time, if a man tell me he said, I go to Africa more than one time a year, I wouldn't believe it. Now we find it that we're going there even much more than we're going to America.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people recognize this as part of the Pan-African struggle, the Pan-African movement, and they are doing it. You know, we can see it playing out in Ghana, which is a very open market and a very friendly market for investment, you know, in Ghana and in Ethiopia. We sell at the Rastafari settling in Ethiopia and doing open schools and building hotels and all these things. In South Africa, where you know, you don't have to have a visa to go to South Africa. We sell a lot of virgin Africans going there to take part in the, what we call the first world kind of setting that is found in places like South Africa and places like Kenya. So I am seeing that a lot of things is happening, but as a Pan-Africanist, we always say we need to do much, much more.
Yes, and as we close out, Muta, as the other program is coming up, United States of Africa, reality or fiction?
No, it can't be a fiction, you know. I mean, everything is in the mind, and what comes from the mind can be manifested in the physical, you know. We see Gaddafi call for the breaking down of barriers and passport, you know, and that is what we have been fighting for over the years. You know, we don't understand why we need a passport, not a passport, but a visa to go to places like Ghana, you know, Senegal, these places. And when white people go in these places, they don't need these visas and don't need these passports, you know. But we go into Europe, they have to have a visa. They go into Africa, they don't have to have a visa. So that is something that we need to address properly, because I think it's stagnating the movement of goods and services that could be easily accessible to Africans here at home and those and abroad. At home and abroad here. And I am feeling that a lot of that needs to be addressed.
Muta, we know we're running out of time, but the thing is that one of the things that you said, and it was in passing, I don't think people get into that, but you said that we have to understand and recognize the role of us in the in the in.